Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of RNIB Tech Talk. I'm Hubert Pavelkovic, in for Callum Stoneman this week. And as always, this is your technology show. It's all about the technology we find accessible or otherwise frustrating or fascinating. And we want to hear from you all the time because at the end of the day, it's all about you, our fellow technology users. So if you want to get in touch with questions, suggestions of apps or things you'd like us to demo or, well, anything technology related, you can. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's our usual email address. Coming up on the show this week, we will be rounding up all the action from this year's Site Village Central exhibition in Birmingham. Plus, I will be taking the Downtime Organizer, yes, you heard it right, Downtime Organizer app called Sofa, from the comfort, well, of my own sofa. Joining us on the show today, we've got Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran. Welcome to you both. Jackie, let's start with you. What's on the tech radar this week for you?
I've seen an interesting publication that's available in electronic format, and it is from the Carroll Center for the Blind in the States. It's a book written by David Kingsbury. It's a free book, and it's the latest in his series of the Windows Primer. So if you are somebody that's got a bit of time over the summer holidays and you want a book to sort of skim through, or you might find a lot of what he puts in there really, really helpful. It's now on the fifth edition, and as I say, it's free. So if you want to get hold of that book, go to the Carroll Center for the Blind. That's spelled C-A-R-R-O-L-L, new word, center, and center, because it's American, it's spelled C-E-N-T-E-R. You can go to carroll.org, which is their web address. And if you look for the Windows Screen Reader Primer, that is a really useful book. It's definitely worth having. And given that it's free, you can donate, of course, and a lot of people do that. But it's on the fifth edition, and I think you'll find some of that really useful.
I've not heard of this. This is new to me, this book. I didn't even know there was one edition, never mind this many. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's in the fifth edition now. So, but it is really good. It's written with all the screen readers in mind. It's written with NVDA, JAWS, Narrator, whatever you're using. And, you know, it is just a really useful compendium of all the different things that you can do in Windows. And for anybody who's getting started with it, or somebody that is a power user, and I guess we all are, but you know, at the end of the day, you can't know everything, and there's loads of stuff in that book, and it's a good reference tool.
Reference tool is always good, because you're never going to remember every single shortcut or keyboard combination. No. At the end of the day, it's the ability to find that information when you need it is more important than actually remembering it, is what I always say to people, and what I've certainly learned when training to become an assistive technology trainer in my olden days. Natalie, what's new this week for you?
I think I've mentioned before that I'm a bit of a maths geek, so I like my numbers. And about a week ago, I was sending a text to somebody about ticket prices for, funnily enough, it was a hen weekend that we'd all been pitching in for. And I was sending them a calculation. So it was quite simple. I did 10 times £18 and I wrote equals. And I was about to write, obviously, 180, and it also populated. I was really impressed. So I thought, this is a cool new feature on iPhone. I should say that it was on the WhatsApp app, but I felt it was iPhone specific as opposed to WhatsApp specific. And then a few days later, my dad asked me a very boring question about how would you calculate the compound interest rate over 10 years of £10,000 or something? I said, oh, you just do 10,000 times one plus point the interest rate equals blah, blah, blah. And he said, can you do that? I said, yeah. And I thought, actually, hang on a minute, let's see. I know the iPhone can calculate basic equations, but can it do it for more complicated things? And again, I typed in 10, well, we need to do it all the way around. So I did 10,000 slash for divided by 1.04, because that was the interest rate we were going with. I did the caret symbol for to the power of 10 for the number of years, hit equals, and I put in the answer. And maybe this sounds like no big deal and not very useful to lots of people, but I was geeking out on it. I thought it was very cool, so I felt I should share it.
Impressive, actually, because I am not a numbers person at all. I the thought of it, I just I can do my tables and I can you know count money and stuff like that, but don't ask me to do power of this or algebra or trigonometry, anything like that, and I'm afraid, or even fractions I would struggle with. So yeah, that would be my best friend if I needed to do something like that. So was it the calculator app on the iPhone that you used?
No, that's what I'm saying, Jackie. This was just a WhatsApp message.
Oh, I see.
And then
see.
A text message.
Wow.
It wasn't the calculator app. It was when I was, because I was setting out the equation, you know, to sort of explain it to my friends or whatever. So I was just writing out the equation manually. And when I hit equals, you know, equals on the numbers part of the standard keyboard, it also filled. And I think
wow.
It put it in the pound sign as well. I was really impressed.
I mean, maths has never been my favourite, even though I was quite good at it, which was the funny part. At school, I was always getting top marks in maths, and like, you're really good at it. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not really a fan of it. I mean, that equation you've given me there just made my brain squeak, I have to say, I'm not going to lie. brain's a bit fried. However, I love that because I love how it solves it for you, because that's the problem with maths. I can do maths quite well. I try to do it on my own if possible, but I often have to ask my resident mathematician, AI or any other tech, to help me figure it out, because it just some of them are just simply really difficult to work out. So I quite like that. It's a nice. We've got a few little life hacks today on the Tech Radar, which is quite nice. So do give this a try, because that sounds incredibly useful. I really like the sound of that. Yeah, thanks for that, Natalie.
Yeah.
My Tech Radar, again, it is fairly short, but I think very important. So Be My Eyes are on my Tech Radar this week. And the reason being, so we've had Be My Eyes on, obviously, smartphones for many years. We've obviously, a few years ago, had the desktop app for Windows released. Again, fantastic. But for those who do use a Mac, you will have the pleasure now of having Be My Eyes on macOS as well. They have released the macOS app for Be My Eyes for personal users for free, which is now available. But to add everything and make everything come together nicely, they've also added Be My Eyes workplace app for workplaces, also for the Mac as well as Windows. So I think they've announced this at the NFB convention, I believe, in Austin, Texas, and it is now available on the Mac. So if you're a Mac user, you can also experience the joy of Be My Eyes desktop on the Mac.
That's cool. I'd be interested to know actually how many workplaces allow it to be used in the workplace, because I know that can be a bit of a tension between it being available and being allowed.
Yeah, I think that's always an interesting part, because obviously, you know, I've spoken to Mike from Be My Eyes once about security, and they did say, yes, it is all secure, but it is also dependent, you know, on there's certain places and environments where security is such that, you know, it may not always be possible. But that's always workplace dependent, so it's always a bit of a tricky one. If you've got things that you found interesting tech-wise and you want to share them with, us and the listeners, well, do also write us an email. We would love to hear it. Again, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. A packed show for you this week, so let's not hold back any further. Stick around. It's another Tech Talk.
This is Tech Talk, and we're here at Site Village Central in Birmingham. And I'm here with Holly from Bristol Braille. Do you want to just quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, my name is Holly Baker. I'm an associate lecturer at Bath Spa University, PhD in computer science, undergraduate in computer science, and I'm currently working with Bristol Braille doing some exhibiting and also some software development.
So it's the Canute Scientific here that you've got here, is that right?
Yes, we've got the Canute Scientific. It's the latest device from Bristol Braille. It's a full STEM workstation, so it's aimed for people in science, technology, engineering and mathematics, with a suite of custom applications. which allow you to view spatial data such as graphs, flowcharts, and tabular data like spreadsheets. And most importantly of all, it's a 9-line Braille workstation incorporating the Canute 360's award-winning Braille technology. So it's electromechanical Braille. As opposed to piezoelectric, it refreshes one line at a time, and it's a cell-based display. But it shows, I think, possibly the most Braille of all displays on the market right now. And the most exciting thing that we've been developing recently is multi-line access to desktop applications. So previously, the Canute console, which is the predecessor to the Scientific, was running in text mode, so it's got a visual monitor, and that's synchronized to the Braille, so you can collaborate with sighted colleagues and classmates and teachers. But now we're also enabling people to access things like the web browser and the Office suite of applications using multi-line Braille and the Orca screen reader. And the other way in which the Canute Scientific has evolved from the Canute console is that it's now in a purpose-built folded aluminium frame. It's all very solid and nice and premium feeling, but it's also completely user repairable. So you can take the screws out and you can get access to the computer module inside. You can swap the computer out, you can swap the keyboard out, you can customize the ports. It's all completely down to you what you want to do with this device.
And one thing that's always been, I've always found quite cool about the way Bristol Braille do this is that it's all on an open source operating system, isn't it? So that anyone can, if you've got the skills, anyone can kind of add to it and, you know, evolve with you.
Yes, exactly. That's one of the things that attracted me to Bristol Braille and the Canute ecosystem originally, was that it allowed me to take an existing application of theirs. All the source code and libraries are available, and adapt it really quickly into something that suits my needs. So I wanted something to be able to view graphs and flowcharts, as in directed graphs, nodes and edges. And I adapted a transport map viewer in a weekend to show one of these graph structures that we work with in computer science all the time.
And you mentioned, when we were chatting before, you mentioned you've been testing this at the kind of prototype stage as well. How's it come on? How's it been developing?
Well, the Canute console started off, it was a sort of docking station, and it was very nice, but the Scientific is now all in one piece, so it's got a handle on the side, you can pick it up. And the original prototype that I was lucky enough to test for a few months looks very similar and feels very similar to the Canute Scientific that I've got now, but they made a couple of little tweaks. So they've changed the material so it feels a bit nicer. They've tilted the keyboard back slightly so that it's just lower than the Braille display and you're not catching your sleeve on the escape key by mistake, and little things like that. So they're always making little tweaks and optimizations based on feedback from the community, and that's one of the really important things that Bristol Braille do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is really where, because I've been saying this all the time, this is where multi-line Braille really excels, isn't it? You know, like viewing those graphs, viewing those spreadsheets. I mean, I'm sure you're similar to me, like the days of waiting for ages for a graph or a diagram to be made tactile and just sort of making do in the meantime. But in this, I'm guessing you can just basically get this up in real time.
Yes, exactly. This is something that I found massively transformative, being able to take a document that one of my colleagues has prepared, like a spreadsheet for marking. And previously they'd say to me, are you okay with spreadsheets? And I'd go, oh, I guess. And I've got enough vision to zoom in and see one or two cells on a massive monitor and be tired after 5 minutes, or to use speech and see one cell at a time. And this was massive, being able to open an Excel file, put in the marks, review the marks, make sure that everything's consistent, and then give it back to them and have it work seamlessly. It was great.
So we're a couple of hours into Site Village now as we're recording this. Have you had a lot of interest? What's the reaction been like from people?
Yes, it's been pretty busy so far. We've had lots of people interested in the product. It's something completely different. It's kind of a revolutionary cell technology still. Nobody does mechanical Braille cells like we do. And there's been a lot of interesting questions from people in fields like statistical analysis, and people who are already familiar with Linux, which is the underlying operating system. As you know, many Braille displays do run on Linux because they run on Android, which is a flavour of Linux. But we've had people coming up saying that they want to try certain things out with us, and we're really excited to do that with people.
Fantastic. Well, as you said, yeah, it's very busy. I'll let you get back to it. But Holly from Bristol Braille, thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a lovely day.
Hi, I'm Glenn Tookey. I'm the Chief Exec of Sight and Sound Technology.
And do you want to tell us what you're showing today? This stand is massive. You've got a lot going on.
We've got a lot of space here, and perhaps we're trying to make Sight Village the Sight and Sound Technology stand. But to be fair, that big space is full of technology, and it covers actually a very wide range of different low vision and blindness technology. That's why we need so much space. Everything from low vision portables and magnifiers and things that have been around actually for probably 10 years or more, dare I whisper, but right the way up to some of the very latest technology, mobile phone based. We've even got a really, really clever braille printer which is portable, which you can hold in one hand. And over the last 20 years, everyone bought an embosser to print braille, but this prints onto like a dymo tape. It's going to change the way retail helps blind people, labels product, labels restaurant menus and all that type of stuff. So we've got everything from the very old but dependable and good value all the way up to the very, 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 very new type stuff and everything in between.
Right, hang on. I'm very interested in this portable braille printer. I used to have an embosser, and I'm not even exaggerating. It took up, like, it needed its own desk and its own little cabinet as well to quieten it down a little bit. It had to be in this sort of soundproofed cabinet. So.
Right, but remember,
so how does this one work?
Yeah, well, that did print out, like an A4 piece of paper. This dymo tape,
okay,
a tape that you can stick onto something, so you wouldn't be typing out or printing out, pages and stuff or even paragraphs.
No, of course,
but you are labelling really, or giving base information. And so many establishments do not have a way of giving some form of accessible, some way of understanding what it is they're looking at to the blind or low vision community. So even if it's a web address that you can then scan and get to on your mobile phone, it's literally holding one hand, size of a packet of soup or something like that. And you feed it with the tape. But what you can do from a map on your phone, you can, with audio, talk into the app on the phone. That transfers to the printer, automatically prints out your braille label. I think this will make it hugely more accessible because, again, you need to understand braille or whatever to do a lot of this accessibility work, and you don't need to do that anymore. So, yeah, that's the latest thing that we've got. But we've also got some very good mobile phone-based technology. We've got the Capsys phones next to us now, and they've got a navigational aid, which is obstacle, obstruction, sort of directional type control. That's brand new on the market, along with their latest version of their Capsys phone, which is an Android-based phone. And then you go back through all the old tried and tested products as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. You said some of those products go back sort of 10 years or possibly even more. Do you want to tell us a bit about some of those? It's always interesting. They move so quick. Everything moves so quick nowadays, but these things seem to have stuck around, which is quite nice.
They stick around because actually, to be fair, there isn't much that substitutes them or displaces them, remembering that quite a lot of people who use, particularly low vision, they will lose their sight later in life, therefore are not so adept with even the latest smartphone technology. So things like the Ruby magnifiers, we've got the 5-inch, 7-inch, 10-inch ones that do OCR as well. They're all tried and tested technology, but it's one button press, very simple to use. And the only thing that's really changed over the years is the addition of OCR, but most importantly, probably screen quality has got better and better over the years, but everything else is just the same. So it doesn't really need to change that much, Callum, to be quite honest. So the tried and tested stuff still has its place, and of course it's better and better value over the years.
You mentioned the Capsys phone that's available. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the Capsys phone is an Android phone, but it's It's much light because it still has a numeric keypad, but it has a touchscreen Android pad on it as well. So it's very easy to use both. And again, I come back to accessibility and how easy these things are to use. And this is unique because either you've got smartphones and you need voiceover or some form of accessibility, but the captain's phone has the buttons still and has navigational buttons. So you've got a tactile way of working through the phone. And it's two-thirds the price of a normal smartphone, but it's a normal smartphone.
I know you've only just got to the stand because of, you know, good old traffic, but just in general with sight and sound, obviously there's a lot of new stuff out lately. I guess what would you say is generating the most interest?
Actually, I think it's sort of generating the most interest at the moment in the consumer space is probably the Lunar glasses. The Lunar glasses are a very specific product which actually won't be with us in purchasable form until the end of the year. We've got a sort of demo prototype, is a better word, one out, but this is designed for people with night vision loss, so a very specific type of sight loss. And there's a whole community out there who have been struggling for many years, you know, for a product or a technology that helps them with night vision loss. So actually, when something like that comes out, you get a real kick from the community. Say, ah, right, at last, something just for me, whereas everything else tries to be something for everybody and doesn't really achieve that.
Well, it goes back to that simplicity thing, doesn't it? You know, everything tries to do everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need that bit of a, don't know about niche, but, you know, you just need that specific purpose, I guess.
Yeah, but it's hard, isn't it? So a manufacturer wants to build something to get maximum scalability, maximum sales, to return their investment. So if they narrow their market too much, they don't succeed. Yeah. They make it too wide, you know, it doesn't work all the time for everybody, and sometimes not all the time for anybody, and then four fails. So it's quite hard, I think, for these guys to develop something that meets the market need. But I think the Lunar is one of those that has cracked it. So for the listeners, go and have a look at the Lunar, L-U-N-A, the Lunar, on the Sight and Sound site, and register your interest if you think it might work for you, because around the end of the year we'll be bringing people in to look at the prototypes.
Are you able to talk about some of the discounts that Sight and Sound have got going on?
Yeah, we've got discounts on everything until August the 31st. We do the discounts, we kick them in at the show, but we realise that not everybody can make the show. There's lots of people of our client base are out in Ireland and places like that, and therefore we give them until August the 31st to capture discounts. We've got sort of 10% off on everything, but we've got the Maggie, which is a smartphone based phone which has got a £300 discount on it for the moment. So we've got the WeWalk Smart Cane, which has been very, very successful, down at £499, back to where it was in 2024. You know, so come along and get your 2024 prices, I would say. So everything has got something, and some things have got a little bit more.
Great. Well, if people want to learn more, how can they get in touch with you?
You can get to us at www.sightandsound.co.uk or call us on 01604 798 070, sales option, or just, you know, email us at sales@sightandsound.co.uk and we'll do our very best to help you.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you.
I'm with Martin from Humanware, who got another pretty big stand. I think you guys and Sight and Sound are trying to take over the place. You've got a lot going on. Do you want to tell us a bit about what you've got?
Yeah, well, I mean, we also have a big stand at Sight Village. It's one of the biggest things of the year for us, the Birmingham event, and we've been doing it for as long as I've worked at the company. A lot of stuff's been happening regarding updates for products. We've got a Monarch update on the way with some new features that I can't really say too much about at the minute, but suffice to say, we have got something coming out later in the year.
You're not going to give us an exclusive?
I can just say that we've got some new features for the Monarch, and I can't say any more than that at the moment.
Okay.
But so there is movement on that, some exciting stuff for education, I would say.
Yeah.
We have the Evolve, the new Braille note, which is finally released and shipping. We're on version 1.0 of the software. We've got 1.1 coming maybe towards the end of September. That's got the ability to control iOS and Android devices. There's a find and replace and find command in the Braille editor, and some bug fixes and maybe some other new things that I've not been told about yet. The Braille Note Evolve is our Windows-based laptop slash note-taker. It feels very Keysoft-y when you first turn it on, but it is actually a full Windows laptop where you can run JAWS if you want to as well. So we also have the Hark AI, which is our reading machine. So that has AI built in now, which has been really quite cool, really. So you can do handwriting and so on. And we've obviously we've been always updating our our Connect, the Connect, which is our low vision product. That has an update every quarter, so we're looking at a new update for that in September as well. So a lot of the focus has been on the Evolve, and it's been crazy the amount of pre-orders we've had, so really pleased with that.
Yeah, it's been a massive talking point, the Evolve, and we've covered it quite a bit in terms of the features and what it can do, but what's the feedback been like now that it's finally out and people are getting hands-on with it?
It's good. I mean, you always wonder, because obviously, especially when it's version 1.0 of a product, and no one's really done this before. Okay, there's laptops with a Braille display slapped on them, but they don't try and integrate like the note-taker Keysoft feel within a mainstream application. But actually, the feedback's been really positive. I've been using it since November and last year, and you know, we've obviously made a lot of improvements with hardware and software since I first got it. Like, the battery life's massively increased now compared to what it was. So, you know, we're actually quite pleased with the way it's gone.
What about the Monarch? Because I think for a lot of people, that's something that they won't really have had a chance to experience, whereas the joy of coming to somewhere like this is that you can actually get to see a lot of this stuff. Have you had quite a lot of interest in that?
It's a Braille display. It's 32 by times 10, so you've got 320 characters there in Braille. It does, as I say, we have got updates planned this year for it, and it's been great that we've now got like multi-line Braille support for JAWS and NVDA. Particularly JAWS has got quite a powerful Braille set and a really powerful, you know, multi-line Braille support for doing stuff like spreadsheets and so on.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there's been quite a lot of interest in that now that people can come here and actually see it in person.
Yeah, and see JAWS working with it, you know.
Yeah,
as like an actual thing. Hey, this is actually happening. You can read across the spreadsheet and read down a spreadsheet. I mean, multi-line's been on the horizon for a long time. In fact, I'd argue that Bristol Braille were probably first with that. Things kind of move on, and there's now us, we're a content creation tool, and there's got the dot pad, which is more of a consumption tool. Exciting that this is now becoming a reality.
Yeah, with more features to come, obviously.
Yep.
And the Hark AI that you mentioned, do you want to tell us a bit about how that works?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it connects to the internet. It can just put a document underneath it reads it to you, but then you can also get an AI description of that page as well. And with the AI description, you'd read your handwriting if there's any handwriting on the page. And I've worked in the industry for over 20 years, and we always thought handwriting just wouldn't be a thing. And it first started on the iPhone, and then now you can get it on a standalone device that someone who doesn't know anything about computers can use.
And if people want to learn more about any of these products, where can they go and how can they get in contact?
They can contact us on eu.sales@humanware.com, humanware.com. You can contact me at martin.roberts@humanware.com. That's Martin with an I. And you can call us as well on 01933 415 800. That's 01933 415 800, and look forward to seeing everyone later in the year at other exhibitions as we go forward.
Always a pleasure to catch up with you guys at Humanware. Always some cool stuff going on, so thanks for joining us, Martin.
No problem at all.
Cheers.
Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk organising things. Now, I've mentioned a few times that I like to keep things organised using apps, whether it's organising my work time, to calendars, to task management in general. But as I mentioned on the Tech Radar a while back, I've taken this to a new level by trying to organise my downtime. Yes, I like to keep that organised too, mainly because I have a lot of interests and I want to be able to partake in as many of them as possible equally. So, today I'm going to demonstrate an app I've discovered that tries to help with that a little bit. The app is called Sofa. It's all about organising your downtime by tracking movies, TV shows, books, music you want to check out. It allows you to do all of that and track all these things. And track your progress with these things. So, you know, if someone recommends you an album for you to check out, you can write it down in the app to try and keep track of the things you want to check out, listen to or watch and not to forget. So without further ado, let's just show you it.
Sofa. Stopping Braille screen input. Opening Sofa. Lists. Tab. 1 of 4.
So we will go to the Lists tab. This is our first tab in the app, and it's probably the most important one that you're going to spend most of your time in. Let me show you what you've got.
New list button. New list button.
So you can make your own lists here, but I'll show you the lists that the app has set as defaults, because I think that's a good starting point.
Lists heading at button.
So you can add a list.
Settings button. The pile.
The pile. I like that. Right, let's go.
Enjoying. Apps to check out in no group.
So you can add apps to check out as well. So that's quite useful. I often add apps in there, which I'm curious about or if I want to test them out at some point.
Books to read in no group.
Books to read, fairly simple. And I think I've got one or two books in there.
Games to play in no group.
You've got games.
Movies and shows to watch in no group.
Movies and shows.
Things to listen to. In no group.
I presume this counts as songs or albums or anything else of the kind.
Selected. Lists. Tab. 1 of 4.
And that's all for the lists. So these are the default lists. You can add your own. You can also track podcasts. That app helps with this as well. And it's actually got a built-in podcast player into it. But I've got a separate app for my podcasting, so I don't really use that feature. But if you wish to, you can do so and create custom lists as well. But I find the default lists kind of incorporate everything, really, that you may want to track. But if there's something in particular you think isn't categorized here, you can always add your own list. Right, let's see what else we've got in the app.
Select player. Tab. 2 of 4.
Player. So this is the podcast section where if you tap on that, you can access kind of episodes or podcasts that people recommend you.
Logbook. Tab. 3 of 4.
Logbook.
Logbook. Back button. Recent. Heading. At. Button. More. Button. No items. You haven't logged any items that match the filters you've selected. Lists. Tab. 1 of 4.
Again, I've only started adding things to check out in this app. So once I've actually checked them out, I'll be able to tick them off in my logbook and they'll be added here to say that I've checked out the things I wanted. So whether I've watched a film or a TV show or listened to that album someone recommended me or checked out this app someone says is really accessible, I can add it here to be there in my logbook.
Search tab. 4 of 4.
And then there's a search tab.
Add item. Button.
So you can add items. And again, this is a different way of adding items where you don't go to the specific lists to add them, but you can just search for general items and find them that way and add them to the appropriate lists you want.
Search. Heading. Trending movies.
But it's got quite useful sections here. So it's got trending films, so you can actually add things that way.
20. Obsession. 2026. At. Button.
So you can add things like that. So Obsession, great film from what I've heard, so I might add that at some point.
Enola Holmes 3. 2026. Supergirl. 2026. The Sheep Detectives. 2026. Toy Story 5. 2026. The Devil Wears Prada 2. 2026.
And so on and so forth. So you can actually browse through possible suggested things for you to check out, which is quite useful. I think that could be another way to find things. I often tend to rely on what people recommend me to check out or what I hear, but this is another good way of finding things out. So what we're actually going to do now is try to add something to the list. And basically, you can see how one of these things works. So let me show you one of the lists.
Enjoying. Apps. Books to get. Books to read. Sofa. Book. The Rag Picker King.
So there's a book that I want to read.
The Rag Picker King menu options. Book. Fourth Wing.
There's another book I want to read. So what I want to now do is go to the top of the screen where I am here. And I'm going to add another book.
Books to my lists. At button. Search field is editing. Books. Cap D. Dictate.
So I'm going to dictate a book that I want to add. Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Inserted Dungeon Crawler Carl.
So I've opened the book and let me see what you've got here.
Dungeon Hide Keyboard. But Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. Category. Dim. Book. Dimmed. Button. Align left. Image. Description. When Earth is destroyed and replaced with a sadistic alien game show, Carl is forced into a massive dungeon where survival is entertainment.
So that's the description. I'll stop it there. Let me see what else you've got.
Info, image, details. Release date, the 28th of December. Author, easy reads. Genre, fantasy. Play TV fill, image, where to read. Apple Books.
So it will point you to where you can read. Mainly Apple Books I found, but it will point you to other providers if needed.
Apple Books. Add to books to read. Button.
So you simply tap that button.
Add it to books to read lists. Back button.
And just like that, if we look at my books list now.
Books to read. My lists. At button. More. Book. Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman menu options. Book. The Rag Picker King. The Rag Picker King menu options. Book. Fourth Wing. Fourth Wing menu options. Button.
We now have three books in this app for me to check out. Again, you know, there are individual apps that can do the same thing. So there's Goodreads for books. There's IMDb if you want to track your watch list and stuff. So every app has these. But I guess the good thing about this app is it kind of brings everything together into one app, which I quite like. The good thing is it has the databases that you can then find these things you want and bring them in to tick off the list as you go through them. So it's quite a nice app. If you want your downtime organized, then this app works pretty well. It is very accessible. I've not found any major accessibility flaws with it. You don't have to have the subscription to use the basics of the app. The subscription is certainly not required, but it does have a few extra features, including, you'll be surprised to hear I've gone for this, stats. So therefore, if you want your stats and want to be able to follow things, then this app will do this too, but you may have to pay a subscription. But yeah, that is Sofa, organizing your downtime. Let us know what you think of it. If you've used it before, let us know if you like it. If you have any other questions, let us know and we'll try to answer them too. But yeah, that is Sofa. And if you want to get in touch, the usual address is, as always, techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
You join us at Site Village Central in Birmingham. And I'm here with Rachel from Raven Corp. Do you want to just give us a bit of a rundown of what you've got? You've got a nice little range of products going on here.
Of course, yeah. So we've got our range of talking watches. Some of those are radio controlled, so they'll keep them time themselves. Some of them are analog, so you're manually changing them. Within those, we've got our new watches, which actually come with two straps. So with the watch, you get the kind of sporty type strap as well as the material strap. We've got our easy to see keyboards at the very end there, which have got nice big bold bright keys. We've got the talking button clock, so it's a simple one button that speaks the time to you and acts as an alarm clock as well. We've got another talking clock, which is a projection clock. It speaks the time and it also projects it onto the wall or the ceiling. We've got some talking healthcare products. We've got a talking blood pressure monitor and also a talking forehead and ear thermometer. We have the Talking Time Pal, which is a keychain that's, again, speaking the time and the date to you. We're very excited about our Talking Easy Music Player because it's recently been upgraded to Be Talking. So the idea of this is it's a DAB radio, also works via Bluetooth, and on the back you can pop a USB in for audiobooks, things like that. Once you set the radio, when you're setting it, it talks you through what station you're on. You close the front cover and then there's just the one button to operate it, so it's nice and simple to use. That comes in a white and a yellow as well, so that's our newest updated product. We also have with us a couple of our sensory range. So we've got the Fiddle Book, which is 4 pages of tactile. So it's got zips, it's got tassels, it's got buttons. Great for sort of reducing anxiety, keeping your hands busy. And we've also got our companion cat with us today, which has drawn a lot of attention from passers-by. Yeah, I think that sums up what we've got with us today.
I like this. Something for everyone there, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. We try to.
The radio and media player are really interesting. We seem to have a bit of a shortage of these accessible radios, which I kind of find surprising. So, do you want to, what exactly, how much does it read out? Do you want to just tell us a bit more about that one?
So the reason that we actually upgraded it was because the feedback, what you've just said, is exactly the feedback we used to get. Oh, they are great, but they're not accessible enough. They need to talk. So we went away and we made it into a talking version, which is, yeah, what we've got here. So it's actually Jess who stood next to me. It's actually Jess's voice that's in the radio. So when you turn it on, it will say DAB radio. And then as you press the button, it will say Heart FM, BBC Radio 2, etc. So you stop on the one that you want to set it to. And then when you close it up, it will stay to what you've set it at, no matter how many times you turn it off and on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a common thing that you find, to be honest, that they don't say the... They'll speak the menus and stuff, but they don't say the name of the actual station, whereas this one does.
It does, yes, yeah.
So what's the reaction been like? As I said, it's quite a big... I can't get over how many sort of different products are on there.
I know, yeah. So these are a little bit long awaited. We had our first delivery, because they were in demand, we actually got our first delivery of just 250, and they're almost all gone already in just a couple of weeks. So we've got a whole load more coming in soon. So yeah, the feedback initially on these is really great, which is good. Same with the talking watches, they're really useful and practical. Things like this are great for us because we get that feedback from real life people that we can then go and try and act on. So it's actually really helpful.
Absolutely. Again, I know it's quite a varied amount of products on there, but can you give us a bit of an idea of pricing for some of these?
So we've actually got the radio here is on a 20% discounted price. That's £88 today. If you can add 20% to 88, you'll find out what it should be. I can't remember off the top of my head. So again, the fiddle blankets, we've got those here today for £20. The button clocks we've got for £15. The watches vary. So the newest watch we've got today for £40. The radio-controlled ones are £35, and then the analogue ones are £25. So there's a variety of them.
And where can people go to learn more if they're interested in any of these or interested in getting in touch?
Of course, so our website, we're called Ravencourt. Our online shop is currently called Story and Sons, which actually is changing. We're having a bit of a rebrand, so within the next couple of months, everything will be under the ravencourt.com. At the moment, it's storyandsons.com. But if you head to ravencourt.com, you'll find a link to Story and Sons. So it should be easy enough to find.
Do you want to just give us the spelling of that, of Ravencourt as well?
Of course, yeah. It's RAVENCOURT. So it's Raven like the bird and then court.com, and you'll find us.
Fantastic. Rachel from Ravencourt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I'm over at the Hable stand and joined by Luke, who we spoke a couple of weeks ago, but it's nice to meet in person.
Yes, nice to meet you too.
Yeah. So you've got the stack tiles here. We spoke about the speech labels, but then you've also got the stack tiles as well. Do you want to tell us a bit about these?
Yes. We showcase our new stack tiles product here. This is the first time we actually showed them in the UK. So we actually have them... give them to people to try them out. We've been selling them through our own website for a bit already, so there are some people familiar with the product, but this is the first time we really showcase them here. And these are our tactile sticker range. I can give you one to sort of feel and see what you feel there.
Oh, okay, yeah. I take it this is one of the sheets, like the sheets of them, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's nice. The basic shapes one. So this one is
general basic shapes and textures. And these are particularly being used for a lot of interfaces in the household. So you can imagine microwaves, cooking hobs, these type of products. And what makes these really unique is that they are washable and dishwasher proof, but they also work on touchscreens.
Yeah.
So if you have your ceramic or induction cooking hob, you can use these stickers to operate this cooking hob.
And what I like about these as well, actually, feeling them, they're not too sort of raised up, and you know, they feel like they wouldn't really stand out, which is always something that I kind of look for, you know, something that doesn't look sort of really obvious that you got a marker on it, if you know what I mean.
So I do have to say they have very bright colors, so for somebody they might stand out, but that's also because we like to make it also fun, and one of our slogans is assistive technologies made to make you smile, and that's also what we try to do here. And we also have sheets that are more geared towards it, and for example we also have tactile emojis. That's a different sheet I have right here.
Okay.
Where you have a sheet with different emotes and smileys.
Now that is cool. I've heard the screen reader like description of these emojis, but I've never really seen them represented. That's really cool, actually. That's kind of interesting.
And then you can feel them.
Yeah. I kind of piece together what they are as well, actually. How did you do these? Because you seem to have done these with quite a lot of precision gone into these ones in particular.
Yeah, so it's been a whole journey to get to the products as they are right now. So these are made with UV printing. So it's a 3D printing process to make these stickers raised. Then we have to add a coating to them so that they are washable and that they also are preserved very well over time. And then, of course, we have to do the custom cutouts of the sticker and the cutting. So it's a whole process to make these stickers. But the outcome is a really sort of accessible product. It's very easy to stick them on anything you like. We also have people that use this to stick on their water bottle, for example. So make sure they can always identify their own water bottle. And so there are you can get really, really creative with all the stickers we have. And if you are proficient in Braille, we also have the just normal tiny Braille stickers that are made with the same technology. So these are also used for interfaces and for labeling items or...
Yeah. All the Braille... I suppose these could be used for learning Braille as well, couldn't they?
You could imagine using that.
Yeah. And what's the feedback been like through these? Because like you said, this is the first time you're showcasing them. Yeah. Has there been a lot of interest?
There's been a lot of interest, and it's been overwhelmingly positive. We've been selling them in a few other countries already for a few months. And we've also showcased them at Site City 2 months ago in Frankfurt. And there we completely sold out of all our stackhouse. So we made sure to bring extra when we are here. But so far our response has been really, really positive. And it's one of these nice products that can sort of help you with daily challenges that you encounter. It's just one of these products that is not a very high barrier to sort of start using. You can just buy one sheet and try them out and see if they work for you. So that's the...
And Joe, just give us details of how people can get more info if they're interested.
So you can find everything about our products on our website, which is www.imhable.com. You can also purchase the products directly from us. At this moment, they can only be sold in the UK you can only buy them from our own website. We're still setting up wholesale partners and resellers in the UK, but will probably come soon in the coming months. The smaller sheets we sell at £11, and the bigger sheets we sell around £13.50.
Great. Nice to chat to you, Luke. Nice to see you in person, as I said. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and nice to also meet you here.
So I'm here at the WeWalk stand with Jean-Marc. We meet again.
We do indeed, and it's always a pleasure, Callum. How's it going?
Good, yeah. Yeah, so how are things with you? I think I hear there's been a few updates to the Smart Cane 2 since we last spoke.
Indeed. I think actually the last time I saw you was at RNIB's Inclusive Design for Sustainability conference.
You know,
WeWalk Smart Cane 1 back in the day.
Yeah.
Not to give away your age, but there we go.
Yeah,
yeah, so now we've launched Smart Cane 2 last year, and we're here showing everyone the wonders of our brand new Smart Cane. First, essentially the first Smart Cane to look and feel like a traditional white cane. It's a product that I love and use every day, and thousands of our users also love and use. Essentially, in a nutshell, we've taken all the great stuff that people love about Smart Cane, the upper body obstacle detection, the patented smartphone connectivity, essentially finding a bus from your cane, if you'd like, and crammed it all into a Smart Cane that truly is the same size and weight as a standard cane.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've tried it, and I was blown away. Compared to the Smart Cane 1, I was blown away by the design of it. It must have been a challenge getting all that technology into that sort of form factor.
Indeed it was, but it's not just about getting it into the form factor, but actually knowing what should go in, what shouldn't, and how we can sort of capture all of that user feedback. I mean, we reached lots of users with Smart Cane 1. So sort of taking what works and leaving the stuff that didn't work into one, I think, was our challenge. But again, thanks to our great partners like the RNIB, who are co-designing with us from the very beginning, Imperial, Sight and Sound Technology. I mean, everyone came together to make Smart Cane 2 happen. And of course, we know there's no such thing as a perfect product. So whilst we're very happy with how the hardware is right now, we're going to keep making improvements to the software, which we can totally do since we build it all in-house. So Smart Cane 2 today is actually a lot better than Smart Cane 2 was last year, simply through software and firmware updates.
Do you want to tell us about some of those new features or improvements you brought in since last year?
I thought you'd never ask, but... Well, first and foremost, we improved stability significantly. We were able to make improvements to battery life, so Smart Cane 2 can easily get you through a whole day now. We've improved our obstacle detection to make it more responsive. You can now customize how the vibrations work, whether it's continuous vibrations or buzzing as it sort of gets closer to an object, you know, buzzing quicker or buzzing slower. You can turn sound on and off. You can even use your flashlight to flash on and off as you approach obstacles. We've taken on board one of the most requested features, which is to have variable voice speeds and variable voices and volumes. You can now change the volume of your Smart Cane's built-in voice, change its speed, and change the voice itself as well, which is exciting. We've also made waves with Wii Assist. So Smart Cane users now get 90 free minutes of Wii Assist. Users who don't have a Smart Cane get 45 minutes free per month of Wii Assist as well. So we've launched Wii Assist and sort of made it more of a complete package with the Smart Cane as well. And we've made huge improvements to our AI as well. So we've moved to Gemini, and we've introduced something called Complex Intents. So now your cane can decide whether it wants to check WeWalk's navigation system, check your battery life, save a location, navigate to new places, or simply answer a general knowledge question. So it's gotten a lot smarter. It's better at understanding what you actually want to do with your Smart Cane when you talk to it. But first and foremost, we've been testing and testing and testing. I can't tell you the number of times we've just been out there testing navigation, testing obstacle detection, just making sure that we iron out any bugs and keep giving users that seamless experience.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Wii Assist, because I think last time we spoke, that was kind of being trialed, but now it's actually come to the UK now. Do you want to tell us a bit about what that is for those who might not know?
Of course. So we've moved away from trial now and are essentially in full-blown launch mode. So we haven't just launched it in the UK, we've also launched it in the US, in Australia. So we're growing in Ireland, for instance. And the service is quite simple. To anyone who's familiar, for instance, with Be My Eyes and Aira, this is WeWalk's own version of this. And whilst we love the other platforms, one of the things we wanted to do is to give people a homogenous experience, i.e. you take out your WeWalk app and it's all there. You don't have to download another application. On top of that, we hire our own agents. Our agents are professionally trained, with help from the RNIB actually, on delivering a very high level of service to users. So we understand the user's needs, and we understand how to use the WeWalk navigation system as well. We can also see your location, so we can help you get better mobility assistance. But on top of that, people have found interesting ways to use Wii Assist. So they've connected with our agents to ask about help doing homework or picking out the right item on a grocery store shelf. So it's not just a mobility system, but it's also one that can help you day to day. And the best part is it's all in one app. And if you have a Smart Cane, you get more free minutes. So it's a very generous offering as well.
Yeah, and that's a good point to make as well when it comes to WeWalk, is that all these features we're talking about, obviously the obstacle detection, you do have to have the Smart Cane, but the navigation, the Wii Assist, you don't have to buy a Smart Cane to take advantage of those, do you?
Exactly, and that's just because it's the right thing to do. I mean, again, at WeWalk, we're a team of people with lived experience of visual impairment. So a lot of our, you know, senior leadership team is visually impaired, myself included, because we understand that it's expensive to become visually impaired. That's the only way to say it. And we just want to make sure we can equip our community with the right tools, the right price, to get people out and about whilst hopefully building a sustainable business. So things like we assist in our navigation service. Yes, you know, we are supported by We Assist with corporate partnerships and our navigation, again, because we're building the smart cane anyway, why not give people access to this great feature? We really wanted people to get a flavor of what we can offer them, and that's why they're available at either no or very low cost.
So do you want to give us details on pricing at the minute?
Sure. So at specifically for Site Village, we're currently running a special discount on Smart Cane 2. So it's currently £499 for essentially all the features you'll need apart from the AI. So just the ability to talk to it and to communicate yourself rather than clicking the buttons. But the navigation system and the obstacle detection, all of that's included for a lifetime in that £499 price. And yeah, we think it's a very reasonable, affordable price point, especially given the value that users are able to get out of it. For our power users that really want the best of WeWalk, that also want the AI voice assistant, that's currently £849, but that again gives you essentially a device lifetime of voice assistant as well. Otherwise, users can just purchase a yearly subscription of voice assistant if you don't want to commit to it at the very beginning. But even at £499, I mean, for most people, that's pretty much life-changing technology at what we hope is quite a reasonable price point.
Absolutely. Well, Jean-Marc from WeWalk, great to chat with you again.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks again for having me on the show. And if anyone has any more questions, then definitely reach out to us. It's just info@wewalk.io.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot.
No, thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Well, and just like that, sadly, that is the end of another Tech Talk. Don't worry, though, because we will be back next week for your weekly fix of technology chat and all sorts. Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you have, please drop us an email. We would love to hear your feedback and any suggestions you may have. And hey, even if you want to come on and share your tech timeline with us, we'd love to have you as well. So do let us know. We would always be interested to hear from you. It's your show, so why not get in touch? As always, that email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Drop us an email and we'll be sure to read it. For now, though, from myself, Hubert Pavelkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
See you next week.